Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our Capital Call right here on K1, the one you trust, and it's brought to you by Phillips 66. Come heck or high water, we will always get this show on the air. How are we doing, everybody? We doing good?
That's why we rely on Bartlesville Radio.
Oh, goodness sakes, we even have Judd on the phone. Hey, Judd, how you doing?
I'm well, Mr. Davis. How are you, sir?
Well, we're all here. We got the quorum here, so we got you long distance. So we're off and rocking and ready to go. First of all, I want to start off with Wendy Stearman. How are we doing on that vaccine bill? The one that you co-authored. Yeah. How's that going for you?
It's moving along. It's, as Senator Daniels mentioned last week, it's not as powerful as it was, but it is there. And, it's progressing. It's actually over in the Senate right now.
For it this week. Yeah. It got out of committee 6 to 5.
Woohoo!
Very good.
Good.
By the skin of its teeth.
Now, Senator, you had a big bill that passed in March in the Senate, and now it got passed out of committee in the House regarding school and the unions, I guess it would be. It's a little complicated, but it's not. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. It had to do with implementing a Supreme Court decision that said school employers needed to check in regularly with their employees to make sure that they wanted to continue to have union dues deducted from their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were calling to implement, put in place that sort of process where once a year teacher or school district employee would check a box saying, yes, I want to continue to have my dues deducted. But in the Education Committee in the House this week, it got amended. That part stayed in, but it got amended to say that the state would now provide liability insurance for school district employees up to $1 million. This has been something that's talked about in the Capitol for many years, ever since I've been a freshman. We already pay for flex benefits for the health insurance for teachers. This would not be a huge ticket item, although I have not heard the amount yet. But they would use the OMES, the Office of Municipal Enterprise Services, to structure something whereby the school district employee could go to a central website and tick the box, you know, yes, deduct my union dues, yes, I want the insurance. Or the insurance might just be automatic. So it could, depending on how you implement it, it could actually be a tiny bit of savings to the payroll clerks in the different school districts. Mm-hmm. And it got out of committee just on a party line vote. So we're looking to see how that progresses on the floor of the House, and then it would have to come back to us to approve that amendment. But I already had one colleague come up to me on Friday morning and said, I heard what happened to your bill. I want to be a co-author. So there are people on my side of the building who think it's a very good idea also.
Well, very good. Congratulations on that. Judd, I saw on your Facebook page you were working on something that had something to do with pharmacies. It looked a little complicated, but it looked like your heart was in the right spot. What you got going on there?
Well, it's certainly complicated. You know, there's two or three or four sides to everything that comes through this building, I think. And there, as many bills, there are benefits to it, but there are problems with it. We worked quite a bit last year with pharmacy benefit management companies that are kind of a go-between the producers and the retailers of drugs, between your pharmacist. And they were put in place to kind of keep the prices of drugs in check and to make sure that we weren't making drugs and selling them wrong. They were like a regulatory kind of agency right there in the middle. Well, somehow they've become some of the richest companies there are. And you know, they're not producing anything, they're not selling anything, but they regulate your drugs. And one thing that they have said is a lot of our small pharmacists, you know, if you want to be able to purchase these drugs or if you want to be able to bring these into your pharmacy and sell them, then you have to operate within certain parameters. And one of those things was that, you know, a pharmacist couldn't tell you if there was a cheaper alternative. You know, if your doctor prescribes your drug, you take it to the pharmacist. A lot of people really don't know any different when you get into the drug names and what they are. And so if you didn't ask, a pharmacist couldn't just tell you, hey, here's a cheaper alternative to this or a generic. And that is one thing that that got left out of legislation last year that we want to put in place. And that's a way that people could save money. That's a way that these pharmacists that operate, you know, Boulevard Pharmacy and Nowata City Drug and whatnot, they could help people right there in your neighborhood. And we want to get that through. Now, there's another part in that bill that we're struggling with because it disallows some mail order drugs, which, and the prepackaged drugs, which I think are great are great things. See, I want to protect that. I want to protect our small pharmacies. But we started getting just inundated with special interest emails and calls, and people coming in the office and writing letters and people saying, hey, you know, you're holding up my drugs and or the drugs that I need. And so it was important to me to really make a statement, say, yes, I am voting for this, regardless of what you've seen or the ad you've seen. I'm voting for this because I want people to be able to know about or find out about these cheaper alternatives. But at the same time, I want to work to try to fix that before it gets out, because I don't want to disallow a lot of our larger organizations or our larger companies from being able to offer the mail order or the prepackaged, you know, the individualized drugs that come in, you know, where you've got your 7 o'clock package, your 10 o'clock package, your noon package. I think those are great things. So we're trying to find a common ground, but I'm on board, and a lot of people see an advertisement on Facebook or something and say, well, this is bad. They just want to raise my drug prices. Well, that's not the case at all. And you have to get in there and figure out, you've got special interests on both sides, figure out what the reality of the bill is and what it would do and what's right and what's wrong. Does it help people? Does it hurt people? And so we're working pretty hard on it, but right now I wanted to make sure and let everyone know that I was working for my local pharmacies on that first.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Wendy, what have you been working on else? It's been a busy week for everyone.
It has been a very busy week. Our public health committee was nearly 4 hours long,
oh.
So it was pretty intense. We actually did, that bill was presented in that committee, and I discussed it with the author, Representative McIntyre. He has worked very hard on that. I voted against it as it stands, but he was planning to work on that portion that Representative Strom just mentioned about the prescription specifically. I loved the reducing restrictions in the bulk of that bill. Absolutely wonderful. The regulating certain areas of the industry bothered me, but they are working on that. And I told the author, you get that figured out, and I'm all for it. I love the bill. I just want those details worked out before I put my name on it. So, and in public health, we heard, I don't even know how many bills, but we heard some big ones, and we heard my favorite kind of bills, those that support liberty and parental rights and life. We had a fabulous one that would make it a felony to perform an abortion in the state of Oklahoma unless it is to save the life of the mother, and that passed our committee. I was honored to vote on that, and thankful that was presented. We had one that went through that, as far as parental rights, it would require the individual school districts to publish on their website that parents can choose to exempt their kids from vaccinations. So it's already in law, that's already allowed. It would just make it known to parents. So I voted in support of that, loved that. And then the Home Bakery Act, which is now the Home Food Processing Act, also went through, and it gently removes some restrictions on home bakers, but it also lifts the cap on the amount of money they can earn from their home bakery from $20,000 to $100,000. So that helps the home bakers of Oklahoma.
You had a darn good week.
Oh, it was busy.
It was a humdinger. Now, Julie, I understand that Monday might be a big day down there at the Capitol. What do we got going on there?
Right. Well, the big administrative rule reform bill that I authored passed the House, and the governor's staff called and said the governor wants to do a ceremonial bill signing at 1 o'clock on Monday, because that truly was a collaborative effort with the Senate, the House, and the governor's office over the course of 2 years. So really excited about getting that. In fact, a former colleague called me as I was driving home yesterday. He said, I've been following this. He said, I am so excited that you all have finally got this done, because the regulatory state really does hold a lot of power and influence over, you know, our everyday lives, even in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So if the legislature will start shining a brighter light on that process, we might be able to reduce regulation and burdens that way. And then just following on from what Representative Stearman said, in the terms of sort of some, you know, post-pandemic sort of legislation, in Health and Human Services this week, we passed a No Patient Left Behind Act, which means that except in very certain circumstances, a hospital or healthcare facility cannot ban, they have to allow at least one visitor for a patient so we don't leave people alone. And then also Senator McCourtney, a long-term care facility, No Patient Left Behind Act that You have to submit an emergency preparedness plan to the state, but you cannot, for more than 72 hours, prohibit somebody from visiting somebody in a long-term care facility. Now, you may have to designate someone. It may only be one person, but we're no longer going to leave people like we did in this pandemic alone to suffer and die with nobody with them. I serve with a couple of attorneys who, have done just that. They had the power of attorney. They had the will. They were in the room as someone passed, but the family wasn't. So we're going to try and fix that. We confirmed Richard Auer of Nowata County, cattleman over there, to the Environmental Quality Board. I carried that nomination. Very soon, Jess Kane of Bartlesville will be presented to join the Wildlife Commission Board. So we're doing those sort of normal things also. And we are, for those of you concerned about medical marijuana and the growers and the lack of regulation, I say again, State Question 788 was very open-ended, but we are trying to address foreign entities buying up land in Oklahoma when they truly are prohibited by a 1910 act. So we're putting some teeth into the enforcement of that act by allowing sheriffs and abstract companies and those who might be involved with a transaction of land where they know it might be illegal, so that we can start to crack down on this, because it's a real issue in western Oklahoma and somewhat in our area. And I know people are concerned about the use of water in the growing of marijuana. So I know you're calling me. I know people who are in the marijuana processing and transport business, they have issues too. Mm-hmm. So that issue's not going away. There's a number of pieces of legislation that we're talking about still this year on that subject.
All right, we're going to go around the horn, starting with Judd. Your final words for today, Judd, what you got?
And we got an exciting week coming up. We've been running bills through committee. We're finally getting down to, we start with 3,000 and some bills, and we go through committee work in both the House and the Senate and cut those down, and then we go through floor work on both sides and cut those down, and now Senate bills have come over, and we've been running those through committee. I've been in judiciary business, general government, trying to whittle those bills down, and I think we're going to end up with about 340 Senate bills to run on the floor in the next 2 weeks, which either sounds like a lot or doesn't sound like a lot, depending on which side you're sitting on. But we'll come in this next week, and we'll go back to being on the floor from 9 in the morning till midnight, 10 o'clock, and trying to get through all these bills. I don't know if it's boom or bust or what you call it in the building. It seemed like kind of a lull just doing committee work this week, but we're going to come back on Monday and just really hit it hard and try to get through these, and I think it's going to be exciting.
All right. Thank you, Judd. Wendy, what's up for you this week?
I second what Judd said about the same thing. We'll be on the floor. It's going to be a busy week.
All right. Senator?
Well, I have about 15 House bills. My first three will be on the floor of the Senate this week. I had 25 out of 30 of my Senate bills have survived so far in the House. So tracking a lot of things. Just a quick update on the pandemic. I looked. We only had 196 people hospitalized in the state as of yesterday, only 7 in our region. And yesterday we opened the vaccines to non-residents. So that's moving along. If you think that only 2 months ago, we were stumbling in trying to get that out, and people were all very concerned about not being able to get it, and now it's in abundance, and those things are looking really, really good. Oh, great Bartlesville Day at the Capitol on Thursday.
Yes.
Great group. They got to be the first ones to use one of the refurbished conference rooms on the first floor. It was just really fine. I even got to take them in the Senate chamber. It all worked out just fine. But we love having them back. That was 2 years they didn't get to come. So things are truly getting back to normal, and our Capitol is beautiful. So come and take a look at it.
It is. And I want to thank you all for being a part of our Capitol Call today, brought to you by Phillips 66.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation.